beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Welcome to my show. Well, tonight's podcast is Magic for Ordinary People on the Future of Psionics. Magic is the stuff of mystery to most ordinary people, and getting started in magic can be rather difficult for many would-be magicians. Contrary to popular belief, you don't have to grow a long grizzly beard or wear a turban on your head. Fun though these theatrics may be, all you need to know about the future of psionics is that masters of magic have already done all of the hard work for you. That is, when you purchase an instrument or a book from me, or one of my colleagues like Joshua Warren or Charles Cosmano, you can rest assured that these machines and books have been well thought out and tried true. And that is the beauty of psionics, what we can pass on to you. With psionics, the student of magic can bypass a lot of the historical reading, the philosophy, and all manner of legend and lore that accompanies the studious pursuit of magic. Symbolism is useful to know, but it is not necessary to operate the most fundamental and basic of psychotronic instruments or radionics of any kind. Having said this, I believe that some understanding of magic terminology is still quite practical, and I will be presenting these terms to you in tonight's podcast. So without further ado, let us begin. Magic. Magic is a word derived from the old name Magi, and it is a name associated with the biblical three wise men who predicted by way of the stars in the heavens and visited the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua Christo. Magic, since that time, has been intended to mean wisdom. And because I view magic as a sort of technology, I tend to refer to magic as the technology of wisdom. So then, what is wisdom? Well, first we must consider what is the usual prerequisite, that being knowledge. Certainly we can acquire wisdom from our pursuits in life without the aforementioned requirement of knowledge, such as when we fall off of a bike and scrape up our knees and realize that we must be more careful in the pursuit of riding a bike. But the actual wisdom comes in the form of taking in the entirety of the experience of riding a bike, and not from heeding attention to each and every little movement of pedaling the bike and shifting gears, you know, in order to learn how to ride a bike. With wisdom, we take it in the experience in its entirety. In the world of magic, we begin with acquiring a certain degree of knowledge, usually via study or word of mouth or through a mentor, after which the initiate must then practice this knowledge in order to experience. Thereby, hopefully, he gained some degree of wisdom. Only upon this attainment of the wisdom gained in the pursuit and experience of working applied knowledge can the initiate be so called a magician. So wisdom is the actual realization and value of the learning experiences that one has, and it is a value which should also be retained by the magician. A magician is essentially a technician of wisdom. Got that? Alrighty then. So, what is the difference between a magician and a wizard? Well, not much, really. Wizard is more of a European interpretation or term for the word magician. I'm only speculating here, but I believe the word wizard is derived from the two words wise and hard. Wise, hard, thus wizard. So if we want to be really technical here, then one could reflect on the notion that a wizard is by some degrees the wisest of magicians. Or put simply, a magician of long-standing achievements and one who is generally recognized, greatly renowned, for his or her quality of having accomplished much in the way of wisdom, particularly in magic, but not limited to only magic. Wizards may be called upon for counsel and consulting, at least in older times they were. So in some ways, the wizard may be to the Queen of England what the shaman or shaman in the Amazon is to his tribe or even to a distressed village experiencing relentless hardships for reasons that defy all logic. In some parts of Europe, these folks were simply referred to as the town's wisdom. Well, a town's wisdom could also be referred to as a witch. Witches tended to be attributed to something often referred to as the practitioners of low magic, which I will explain in a little while. The word witch has been greatly abused in some of the New Age literature and films produced out of Hollywood. The origin of witches is entirely debatable. The authority on the runes and North magic and Celtic culture, Stephen Flowers, also known as Edred Thorson, he believes the origin of witches were from the Northern magic system, often attributed to the Teutonic beliefs, and possibly a division of magicians or magic users who followed the goddess Freya rather than the teachings of Odin, and so on. But there are references to witches of all kinds across this planet, with some having roots to the Celts, and then others related to the Greeks, and others still going back to ancient Persia. Though the term sorceress could also apply to some cultures, but I digress. Low magic is essentially natural magic attributed to the knowledge of herbs and stones, and observances of the seasons, the movement of the sun and the moon, and so on. There is really nothing low about this knowledge at all. It is simply termed as low magic in regard to its counterpart referred to as high magic, and high magic, which is typically to do with very advanced ceremonial rituals. And the latter was, as well, more expensive to work with. This is because the magic user of high magic required many books, and over time acquired libraries of scrolls, rare items, artifacts, and all manner of materials to work the high magic with, including the space in which to do it. The opposite to a wizard is all too commonly deemed a sorcerer. A sorcerer is a word which may have at one point in our history referred to lot casters, or one who reads the bones. What this is referring to are those individuals who could divine or peer into certain aspects of the universe behind the veil of reality by way of divination. This includes things like determining the cause of an illness, the birth of a child, or what its gender is going to be, and of course, reading of the future. Today, the title of sorcerer is given to the lowly sort of magicians who delve into the very dark and forbidden arts. things like cannibalism, consumption of portions of the bodies of cadavers, grave robbery, of course, and, as a matter of fact, the blood of innocents is spilled in order to conjure up demon kings, or to consort with devils, or call upon the ancient evil gods from our primordial past, predating world history, so as to, you know, to entreat these tournesilks and gain special favor or powers of a diabolical darkness predating man. In essence, think of the rulers of China and you'll follow my meaning. No, not the prime minister or the president. They're just puppets on a stick. The real monsters are silently behind all of the ongoings that you see on television and so on. That was meant to be a pun. Now, the supposed counterpart to a witch, aside from her familiar spirits, is the title of warlock. However, the term warlock is rather a derogatory title for a male witch. You might use in place of that simply the word wizard or witch. It would be better to refer to a man who practices witchcraft or witcha, originally pronounced witcha, not wicca, as simply witch. A witch is as much an androgynous occupation as a magician. So witch, wizard, magician. I tend to just stick with the word magician to cover everything in all occupations as under this universal title of simply magician, meaning a technician of magic or a technician of wisdom. Alrighty, so we now have some idea of what a magician is, a wizard, a witch, and a sorcerer or a sorceress. There are some other titles we need to cover as well. So the next series of titles has to do with specialist. That is, those magicians who specialize in a particular field or area of magical art. So let's get started. First up is someone called a diviner. Diviners are probably the most common occupation for many a wizard. Divination, as it was once called, is the concept that proposes knowledge from God is being granted to the diviner. Divination may take many forms. In Rome, it was the job of a chicken to pick up seeds from the ground, and then the Romans would interpret what the pattern left on the ground implied by some cosmic secret or other. Other diviners, such as Dr. John Dee, worked with a talent or skill commonly known in magic as scrying, in which the scryer would look into an object, such as a crystal ball, and conjure up images of remote events and distant places, either in the past, present, or into the far future. Divination with tea is also not unheard of, and most of us are familiar with drawing sticks or straws as a kind of game. All of these ideas stem from magic. Now today, the idea of divination is really out the window in most modern circles of magic. Instead, we rely on something called dowsing. Dowsing is the acquiring of information from the hidden or subconscious levels of mind that we are too consciously busy to ordinarily detect, because our minds are ordinarily too loud. This is accomplished by training with a pendulum to respond to subtle movements in the person's involuntary nervous system. After all, the subconscious mind is very able to control our involuntary muscle actions or motor responses to unconscious stimuli or what have you. Psionics, by the way, is heavily based on the principle of dowsing, just so you know. And psionic magic can even work with patterns or sigils which produce similar unconscious or subconscious involuntary movement in the arm, the hand, or even to make the operator's thumb abruptly stick to a radionic rubbing plate, which is the secret behind how we take a numerical rate on a radionic box. And now, This might be a good time to inform you, but this weekend I have a special on my multimedia package for dowsing that you can download at $5 off the usual price. This includes documents, audios, and I even threw in a rare-to-see how-to-douse video. Alright, onward! So, diviners and dowsers, read information that is ordinarily unavailable to us by, well, ordinary means. And this skill called dowsing is very important to working with any kind of intelligence operations, which psionics truly is, and intelligence magic, as it is sometimes called. And that's referring to information-based magic, reading information and influencing that information. Next in line of occupations is healing. Oh yes, back in the bad old days of medieval times, and even long before that really, healing was one of the most sought after magics, and not surprisingly either. Unfortunately, in our modern times, such a pursuit of healing other people could potentially land someone into really big trouble with the controllers of society and its established medical umbrella. But yes, healing was something that was done by, possibly by the town wisdom, definitely by witches and witch doctors, and of course, shaman. Might have been something a little out of the line of wizards, technically, who usually tended to be concerned with higher, you know, more abstract type of work. Another occupation deserving of some mention here is the time-honored art of cursing. Ooh, yes. Humans have, for an age and an age, desired to put hexes on their enemies, and usually out of spite, jealousy, or in the pursuit of laying claim to some inheritance or title. The ancient Greeks used curses against athletes. The gods only know why anyone would waste their time with cursing athletes, though I suppose in today's day and age, with what we see on the television and the news, that sort of fad might make an insurmountable comeback. Yes, well, the Greeks called their curses katadesmos, if I pronounce that right, but these are more commonly known as curse tablets, or by the Latin, defixio. These were sometimes thin lead sheets inscribed with maledictions, essentially curses or hexes. Alrighty, witch doctors and sorcerers did exceedingly well in this area of the dark arts, I assure you. Another kind of occupation similar to witchcraft and sorcery is that of the enchanter. No, I'm not talking about that handsome looking guy or that, you know, that person with strikingly good features. No, an enchanter is one who casts spells on other persons, sometimes places and objects or animals, but not necessarily to harm them, though harm may be intended. But that is not the primary task of the enchanter. Rather, an enchanter specializes in influencing the mind of another person. We might say that in many ways, psionicists are both dowsers and enchanters, essentially, or fundamentally. The classical love potion, sleep spell, or inhibiting of another person's memory is exemplary of enchantment. Enchantments can also border on the territory of illusionist, but the true illusionist is more the work of stage magicians in our modern times. That the classical notion of enchanting places or objects to persuade our senses to perceive these things other than their naturally intended presence is a long lost art. We can just sort of place illusions into the occupation of today's enchanter or enchantress as well. Summoners, conjurers, and evokers are the stuff of medieval legends. And these occupations often fall under the identity of the so-called sorcerer. Whether we are working with conjuring up demons or evoking the power of the elements to take some form or perform some task on behalf of the magician, the entire area of expertise usually falls under the title of conjurer, though modern usage of the word conjurer is often applied as, yes, a derogatory term, much like the word warlock. However, that having been said, a conjurer is indeed an important role for magicians who pore over the magics of medieval grimoires and the sigils found in use during or after the Roman Empire. What a conjurer does is essentially to bring into attention of the minds of those present the presence of a spirit, usually a demon or an elemental of some kind. The conjurer is also responsible for the task of binding, employing, issuing the commands of what they want that demon to do, and then also returning the spirit back to its place of origin once the operation of summoning has been completed or a task fulfilled. If conjuring is your ideal pursuit, just remember not to call up that which you cannot put down. With that warning having been issued, let us move on to some of the more interesting pursuits of modern chaos magicians. Oh yes, the title of artificer is indeed one of the most intriguing and, in my opinion, one of the most creative magical arts. Artificers imbue objects or craft objects with magical qualities. My book, Psionic Robot, An Artificer's Guide to Anthropomorphic Constructs, is exemplary of the modern techno-artificer whom works with electronics to craft magical creatures. The title of artificer might imply other things as well. To avoid any unnecessary confusion here, an artificer does to an object what an enchanter does to a person's mind. That is, while an artificer is, in contemporary terms, a skilled or artistic craftsman or inventor, he or she, as a magician, is the deviser of enchanted objects and magical artifacts. Where a sorcerer might send energy directly at his intended target, an artificer, on the other hand, first places that energy into another object in order to make this object take on some special properties or to inherit attributes from a magical concept. For instance, perhaps a magical symbolism that is alchemical, geomantic, astrological, elemental, or based on some manner of gods or even archetypes. A magical craftsman or craftswoman, that is essentially what an artificer is, at least in magical terms. Let us see here. Mystic. Yes, that is a term which does surface frequently enough in the New Age circles of literature and popular culture. Well, a mystic is not a magician of any kind. Mystics are connected with the higher self or the God self, the Godhead, and the best example of a mystic might be a tarot card reader or a yogi. I know the two are quite different, but they do share in common that element of mysticism. Both occupations derive magical awareness from a higher power of some kind, something higher than themselves, disregarding, of course, demons and things like that. Though the former title of tarot reader might be quite misunderstood or misconstrued, for let it be known that these tarot cards were not originally cards at all. Rather, the tarot is one of the eldest books in all of magic, legend, and history. Did you know that? The first card of the tarot depicts the magician raised above the hermaphrodite and surrounded by the power of the akasha above him, with the four elements present on the face of this first tarot. Mastery of the elements. The initiate. the magician. In any event, a mystic might be thought of as something similar to a shaman, except that the experiences of otherworldly beings is attributed to God or the higher self. The world of the mystic is not a magical art, but rather a state of being, a state of spirit, or a spiritual awakening, and often such people are either born as a mystic or at some point in life something occurs which makes this transition, this turning point into the Godhead or one with the cosmic universe. It is difficult to find a modern example, so bear with me here. Well, perhaps some people today, by our standards, might consider David Icke a mystic, while others consider him a conspiracy loon. All right, so now at long last, I will speak on the topic of necromancy. Yes, taking us back into the reclusive corners of the so-called sorcerer, we discover the occupation of the infamous necromancer. Well, at one time, being labeled a necromancer was far, far worse than being called a warlock. And that is precisely because the occupation of a necromancer was gravely feared. And for some good reason. Anyone who went around digging up bits and pieces of dead people from cemeteries had to have been a rather repulsive sight to the unwary or uninitiated and ordinary fellow. Not to mention the possibility of contracting diseases and God knows what that wiggling thing is dangling out of the caretaker's pocket. Alright, I'll stop that already. Alright, so a necromancer simply means dowsing the dead. That is essentially their role in the occupation, to divine what secrets lie with the deceased and departed souls of Hades. Well, at least in the classical sense, that was true. You know, we in modern times, the title of necromancer implies dark sorcery of some kind. And, you know, that still ties back into that whole concept that the necromancer had to summon the souls of the dead from the gates of Hades. And, you know, that goes back to the old Greek necromancer ideology. I'm sure they had their necromancers in Persia as well, which, actually they did, and Egypt. But, you know, initially, this simply is a title which referred to one's occupation that was to contact and learn information from the dead. Or perhaps to avoid unnecessary confusion, think of a necromancer as being very similar to a conjurer, except that the necromancer of legend summoned the souls of dead humans, whereas the conjurer summoned the spirits of elementals, or his counterpart, the demonologist, who summoned forth the disembodied minds of so-called demons. In truth, however, the necromancer is a kind of diviner, though in modern times, the necromancer is more of a dowser than a diviner. And there's really no need to involve the divine in order to contact the dead or disembodied minds of your deceased relatives. My ebook, Psionic Necromancer, details the easy methods for using machines and prayer boards to contact the dead and actually how to enjoy the entire pursuit. It's really pleasant in my experiences. Nothing like those spooky television programs, fun though those kinds of ghost shows are. Necromancy is, however, rather a very intellectual and information-based pursuit in magic. Nothing about it is going to make you jump out of your skin. Far from it. You know, you're not going to be summoning up the souls of the dead. It's more like dialing up their phone number. And not even that. We're really working with information-based psionic psychotronic stuff. Well, that sort of about wraps it up for the name-calling tonight. Yes, well, I do hope you enjoyed listening in on my thoughts this evening, tonight on Planet Verloc, and I hope you find this podcast useful, insightful, and entertaining. Don't forget, I do have a weekend special multimedia package you can download this weekend, $5 off the price. just for my loyal podcast listeners. Dynamic dowsing disclosure. Well, I mean, you don't have to be a podcast listener to buy my dowsing package and download it instantly tonight for $5 off. But your support of my podcast does encourage me to put up these deals and specials on my products every single weekend. And you can count on that. Or my name ain't Doc Verloc. So thank you all again for your awesome support of my work. And until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is your host, Doc Verloc, signing out.